Hello, it is William Colling from Wooey Vlogs, and I am joined by Jonathan in the UK, Oliver in the UK, and Suzanne in the US of A. We are here to discuss the results of the grand final of Eurovision 2021. We are filming on Sunday, May 30th, so it has been 1 week and 1 day since that fateful evening where Italy took the top prize. Now, you may remember that Suzanne, Sinan, Diego, and I filmed inside the student hotel at 4 a.m. after the results. Let's just say we were incoherent. So we wanted to do it again, but also bring in these lovely gentlemen who were editing and working from home. They were on the online press center, and they saw it on the TV, which, you know, we saw it in a slightly different setting. So in any case, should we go around and discuss the split results of the grand final of Eurovision 2021?
Let's do it!
Amazing. You guys, let's just kick this off with Jonathan in the UK. I know you were a huge fan of Italy long before many people were. Please tell us how you felt about their journey, their win. You just download.
Indeed. Before the grand final, well, before rehearsals, Italy were my second of the year. I was just a big fan of their song, just in general, and you know, their performance at Sanremo was, you know, definitely our first hint that they were going to pull off something spectacular when they eventually got to Eurovision, and I think they did just that. This was striking, this was powerful, this was intense and dramatic, but it just all worked. You know, their cohesion as a band together, yes, I know Damiano is, you know, sort of center as the vocalist, but we got moments with Ethan and Victoria and Thomas, and just their outfits that coordinated together worked really well. You know, we've often said that their aesthetic has long been really good, and I think in some way that is why they've gone so viral afterwards as well, because people just love how they look together in addition to how they sound together. Yeah, this was just an amazing performance. I was rooting for them all the way. Interestingly, I had a party for my house here and my housemates, and they were not feeling Italy as much as I was. But it worked out for me in the end, and I was, yeah, cheering the house down when the results came in. So overall, very happy.
Just wanted to shout out to you first, because you really were an early advocate for this. I remember, were you in the Italy Wee Wee Jury video?
Yeah.
I remember people rolling their eyes, but I was like, do not doubt the power of Jonathan. Okay, his predictive power. Now, Oliver, what do you make of Italy's win?
Yeah, I think this is so deserved. It's one of those ones we've been on a journey with, and every time that we've seen it, it's been slightly different. And I think it all culminated on the night for Italy. Like, the outfits were perfect, the vocals were great, the energy, just everything came together so smoothly, yet it didn't seem like over-rehearsed or overproduced. It felt very natural, even with the astounding technical elements like the pyro, like the backdrop. Just everything about it felt very natural, and that is, at the end of the day, what audiences connect to. And yeah, I think this is so deserved. It's a long overdue win for Italy, let's be honest. They were gonna take over the trophy. Yeah, and I'm so excited to go to Italy, wherever it may be next year. I think as well, more broadly speaking, when we look at both the jury and the televote results, actually, the top 10 was very diverse. Like, the only really big pop songs that did particularly well on the night in the top 10 were Malta and then, to a lesser degree, Greece. Everything else was quite alternative and not suitable for Eurovision, as some people might say. But this year, I think, has really shown a change in direction, a tonal shift, and it shows that Eurovision can be open to so many more genres than we typically think. And Måneskin might have just started a revolution.
Absolutely. Suzanne, let's continue the Måneskin happy hour, please. What do you think?
I don't know what I can say that I haven't already said, but because I was so happy, I believe so effing happy, as I phrased it during the grand final, I will chat anyway. So I've watched that moment multiple times as they won, and I made the comment about being so effing happy because people keep sending me video of myself doing that. And my pure joy for their win, every time I see it, it was pure joy. I was just so happy for them because they worked so hard to get there. They wanted it so badly. They posted before the grand final, let's go out, and I'm paraphrasing, let's go out and get what we deserve. They wanted it. They wanted it. They wanted it. They come from this generation of snowflakes, if you will. William, you and I have had this conversation multiple times. But these, they're of that age, but they work so hard. And they have been working towards this since they were teenagers. I believe Damiano actually posted an image where he had written down, or rather manifested, that he wanted to be a rock star when he grows up, congratulating the little boy in him that will always live. Well, congratulations, little boy, because you did it. I just, everything about them pulls at my heartstrings. It's, you know, at the end of the press conference, Ethan wanted to pause and he wanted to say to everyone, to all of the other artists, you did such a great job. And if I'm not mistaken, Damiano might have helped him to translate a little bit. And that was such a sweet moment.
And we should point out that wasn't televised. It was after the cameras went off. So he wasn't trying to get attention. He just wanted people to know in the room, because there were artists listening, watching nearby.
And, you know, they commented that we're just four friends doing what we love. We've stayed true to the type of music we like, to your point about this being a different type of win. They didn't go for what they thought the general public would like. They were true to themselves. And I think that holds true in everything that they do. And I find that pretty amazing. The other thing I've noticed in looking back at pictures of that evening, they're so much fun. They love each other so much. I love the fact that they all tongue each other. It just cracks me up. It does. It's, you know, it's so funny. I was showing a friend Damiano's photograph or his Instagram page, like, look at this man. And she's like, oh, I was doing okay till I saw the picture of him kissing. And I think it was either Ethan or Thomas. I'm like, oh, that's okay. They're just one big happy family. But I do, I love that they kiss and hug and just love so deeply. But I've also noticed that Victoria, I think she has the best English of the group. And I think she's not the oldest of the four of them, but she rather plays this mothering role. She seems to be the one who's grounded, and she looks at each of them with such admiration. There's this one point where I think Damiano was on the ground, and I think Thomas, he's hugging Thomas, and she's just looking at both of them with so much love in her eyes. Or just during the press conference, the winner's press conference, watching her as she spoke, and they all spoke, but as she spoke on their behalf, and looking at other images, she just seems to kind of be the glue that really holds them all together. They're really, not that they're not grounded, but I think she rather grounds them, and that comes across to me in photos. I'm just happy. Okay, back to you.
Thank you so much, my queen. I just want all of you to go on Instagram and follow Nick Cerioni, NickCerioni. So I met this man at Unser Song für Israel. He was on the expert panel. This is in Germany. He is their stylist, and he is amazing. He's responsible for all of their iconic looks. And if you go on his Instagram, you can see many of the outfits, many of the things he's pieced together, and get a bit of an insight.
I'm not going to say which designer or which dress yet, in case I don't like it when it comes in. But I've just ordered a dress from an Italian brand that was featured on the Måneskin Instagram page. I will tell you what color it is. Guess what color it is?
Girl, what? Red?
Wee wee pink.
Oh my God, love that. All right, we're gonna move on. Now, anyway. I just want to point out that A lot of people loved France. A lot of people loved Italy. A lot of people loved Switzerland and Iceland. And what I love about this result this year is there weren't, as in many other years, a lot of angry, like, negative people reacting. Like, it butthurt fans, sometimes people say. Like, I felt like there was just an outpouring of, like, love and sympathy for everyone near the top. Because so many acts in any year could have won. In any other year, they could have won. You know what I mean? So many of these acts were just spectacular. I saw a comment on the Wooey Blog's Instagram from Paul. Paul has been overseeing Australia at Eurovision for many years. He runs Blink TV. And he said of the top two, I thought this was so insightful, he said Italy and France were basically amazing, but somehow it was a choice between the future and the past. And he didn't mean that to slag off France. He just said France was classical, whereas Måneskin was in many ways pushing things forward to a new direction. And I think that resonates with a lot of what you guys have already said about this is like the new generation of openness, of being progressive, of being genderless, borderless. You know, there's just no walls here. They tear them down. They even remove the shirts. That's why, even though this wasn't in my top three...
I mean, I almost removed his pants.
Amen. And even though this wasn't in my top three going into the final, I'm so happy it won. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's a great result for Eurovision when so many people can be so happy for the winner. Now, look, we need to talk about the other results. In the name of progressing, let's go to the bottom. Discuss the four zeros. I'm curious what you guys think. Did you expect these countries to come at the bottom? Did you expect them all to receive zeros? Let's start with Jonathan.
I think I expected them to be near the bottom. I personally, I mean, don't think any country or participant ever deserves zero. I would love a scenario where zero was not possible, because I think every artist puts so much effort into their performances throughout the history of the contest that they deserve, you know, at least some love per se. I think I can understand why most of these countries fell into the background of people's minds in terms of whether it was the performance, where they sat in the running order sort of thing. The UK coming zero with both the public and the jury was definitely an unfortunate result, and wasn't the most the greatest thing to watch when you're, you know, at home in that country wanting us to do reasonably well. Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, but in some ways slightly expected. Germany was always very divisive in the fandom running up towards the contest. Unfortunately, there just wasn't enough on the positive side to get it some televote points. Spain, while I think Blas performed the song extremely well, and there was a lot of emotion from him on the night, maybe the song itself just unfortunately wasn't good enough and just didn't stand out really. The Netherlands, this is the biggest one where I think it's an injustice that they receive zero televote points. I think Jongu brought a beautiful message and a beautiful song to the Eurovision stage. I do think that it tapered off towards the end in terms of the performance. There wasn't necessarily a big climax in the final chorus, and it just sort of continued on from where it had started. And then I think they performed 23rd right before Italy. So, you know, having Italy come straight after them and just blow everyone out of the water, then that probably hurt them a bit. So yeah, it is unfortunate, all the zeros, but there are pieces of the puzzle in my mind that can understand why sort of things fell into place.
Oliver?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, really. I agree, no artist individually ever deserves 0 points, because the effort that they put in individually deserves to be recognised. However, we have to understand that a Eurovision entry isn't just one person. You know, Barbara Pravi, for example, she's just alone on the stage. She's the songwriter behind the song, but there's so much more elements to this. There's a big team producing it and, you know, things like that. But the thing is, with the UK in particular, all of those elements just didn't come together, and I think it was destined to get that result. It's unfortunate that it was so low, but hopefully this will serve as somewhat of a wake-up call to, you know, that team organising it, because I think with everything together a bit more tight and a bit more cohesive, it could have climbed the leaderboard a little bit more. It just, those giant trumpets felt quite silly. And when you're coming, they were either before or after Serbia, right? And, you know, that was high energy. That had a lot of love and support from the public. And, you know, when you're up against so much strong competition, as this year has proved, you know, we talk about the quality of the songs. If something is just kind of in the middle, one of those songs that nobody despises, nobody really dislikes, they just kind of feel lukewarm on it, it's just not going to get the televote points. And I think that's a real shame. Germany as well, yeah, the divisive completely explains it. Spain, I think, has, that song's kind of been heard before at Eurovision and got lost in the running order. Netherlands, I would have liked to see get some more televote love, but yeah, this bottom four, I think, is what a lot of people predicted from the start. People were saying that the Netherlands and Spain were battling it out for last place. And, you know, we had that doorstop wedge of the big five sandwich at the top with France and Italy, then all the semi-finalists, and then the remaining big five and hosts at the bottom. It's unfortunate, but it's how things go. And hopefully we'll start to see things turn around in the future, because if Italy can win again, and if France can get back on the podium, there's nothing stopping Spain, the UK, or Germany getting back up there again.
Suzanne Adams.
Well, 0 points, I learned very recently, doesn't necessarily mean it was really 0 points. It just means they didn't get enough points so that they were awarded points, which I do believe is incredibly unfortunate. But I didn't know that. And so for anyone else who doesn't know that, I just don't want you to think that nobody in all of Europe voted for these four artists, because they did receive votes. We just don't know how many. And it wasn't enough. And I know sitting at the table in the press center, we all said, wow, we know where the entire televote is going when four came in with 0 points. And so it was no surprise that the fan favorites and our favorites did as well as they did in the televote. I felt bad for all of them. You all know that pre-Rotterdam, Blas Cantó's song, Spain, it was my number one. It touched my heart before I understood my heart. I only have one heart. Although, I guess Ducky do, and my cats give me additional hearts. Hi, everybody. So, I was really, really sad for Spain and really sad that Blas didn't do better. But I understand that how other folks just kind of, it's just another ballad, right? I don't think it was just another ballad, but a lot of folks saw it that way. Thoughts on Germany were all over the place. I had actually thought that perhaps Jendrik would fare better because he did have such fun energy and it was such a fun song. Maybe he would have in a year where there weren't so many songs that were going to do so, so well. The Netherlands, was it the curse of being the host country? Maybe. This one, for whatever reason, for me, just, he had a message that he wanted to get across, and I love the way the content was displayed on the screen so that he really got the message across. I love that it was a family affair with Jungkook's twin brother. But this one just never did a lot for me. And I'll leave that there. And then lastly, there's Germany. And there's a reason I saved it for last. I just wanted to point out how classy James Newman is. I think he was the first zero that was called out. Am I correct? Okay, so he was. The man stood up. He took a bow. He thanked everyone for whatever attention that the UK got during Eurovision 2021. It was just, he's a class act and he has a beautiful voice. And I really felt, because of the song, because of his vocals, that the UK would fare much better this year than it has in years past. Clearly I was wrong, which is often the case, but we're just sending him so much love and wishing him, you know, the best in his career, because he has an amazing voice. I love the message of his song and just all in all, a class act.
Now, we should point out that the bottom four, Netherlands, Spain, Germany, United Kingdom, were the bottom four in both the jury vote and the televote. This is very consistent, so we can't say this is random. I think we can say fairly that these songs did not appeal to enough people, so it's understandable why they ended up at the bottom. Now, I do not advocate for a Junior Eurovision system where everyone gets 12 points. I'm sorry. This is a TV show. And while it hurts to get 0 points, I think that producers understand it does make for good TV if that is an option. Because what are we all talking about right now? The fact that four countries got 0 points. What were people oohing and aahing, you know, about during the voting segment? That. It created drama and tension, and ultimately that makes for a good TV show. Now, I am not trying to sound like a cold-hearted snake. I am just saying I can understand.
But you are a cold-hearted snake.
No. I'm not a cold-hearted snake. Look into my eyes. Oh. Uh-oh. You've been telling lies. But listen. The Netherlands, to me, just wasn't commercial enough. And I know there are exceptions to the rule, Jamala being the one that stands out, but commercial songs, songs that will get radio play, often do better. I think the UK did have a radio-friendly song. However, the stage did not feel filled, even though they had those two, you know, foam trumpets, whatever they were made of, polystyrene trumpets. I don't think any of us were shocked these four were the bottom four. And that's not saying they're not good songs, it's just that they're not necessarily special enough to motivate people to vote. And it's a different question, right? Because, like, I like a lot of songs, but do I vote? I'm going to vote for one or two. I'm not going to vote for, you know, my number 16. So, yeah, it's not an insult to finish with 0 points. It just means not enough people will put you in their top 10. All right. Yes, Jonathan.
I'm just going to quickly pick up on, I guess, that point and also what Suzanne said about, you know, 0 points doesn't mean that no one voted for you. So I sort of did some analysis on this sort of in a post for the blog, and it's, you know, interesting when Germany and the UK had both 18 individual jurors put them in their top 10. So, you know, they both really had the same amount of love, but the UK's jurors were just spread across the entire sort of basis of the countries, whereas Germany managed to, you know, get three of the Austrian jurors to put them in their top 10, which, you know, just squeezed Jendrik into sort of point situation. So the important thing to remember for, you know, really every country is that in order to get points, you have to get into someone's top 10. So really your aim when you come into the contest has to be to get into the top 10, because if you just aim to do reasonably well or just scrape onto the left-hand side of the scoreboard, then you always run the risk of just coming 14th everywhere and getting 0 points. So even if people don't think you're the worst song, you will still end up on the bottom because of that. So you have to just try and avoid beige and just have to really try and find something that is going to cut through the noise and just cut through absolutely everything and makes people think that you deserve a place in the top 10. So yeah, it's, you got to aim for the top 10 or nothing really.
Beige is not a good color. Now look, let's
pick turquoise up a...
Turquoise slays. I'm actually wearing Moroccan oil body cream right now, and I smell so good.
I bet you smell so good.
Yes, girl. Now listen, I want to read some comments on WeebyBlogs and get quick reaction if you have one. San Marino, of course, did not end up living up to the hype. A lot of people thought, myself included, this would be their best result ever. Teddy writes on the WeebyBlogs website, the fact that Flo Rida couldn't beat a record placement set by an older man singing Na 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 on repeat for 3 minutes is killing me with laughter. Now, I do not share the negative sentiment about our daddy Serhat, who is an icon, but you guys, why do you think Sanit did not reach the upper echelons here? She finished in 22nd place overall. The jury put her in 18th, while the televoters put her in 21st.
I'm in sort of two minds about this, because it's interesting that everyone was obviously hyping up Flo Rida so much, and then Europe was obviously like not really that into Flo Rida appearing on the stage, and it obviously,
but Jonathan,
you know,
to that point, there were a lot of comments in the live stream. Well, we don't want a song to win that has American representation, which I found interesting. So please continue now.
Interesting. I mean, I guess it proves, you know, everyone, these people in the UK that like to go on and on about Eurovision are always like, we could send Adele or Ed Sheeran and we'd never win. And it's like, you know, San Marino sent Flo Rida and they didn't win or do particularly well. So, you know, having a big name is just one very minor factor in this, and you have to have the song and the performance to back it up. I did think that Senet had the song to back it up. I'm not completely sure about the performance, and in a way, I feel like with everything that was going on, when I was sitting down and watching it, the actual sort of bop and pop aspect to the song was missing from the stage performance, because they were just trying to put on this big show in a way. So when it sort of, the song first came out and everyone was, you know, really loving just sort of dancing to the song and the bop and just sort of the nature of the song, I'm not sure if that properly came across on stage. I think the last moments of the song when they were sort of on the sort of satellite stage, I thought for me that was the best part of it, whereas everything else before that was maybe, I don't know, slightly style over substance.
I can get behind that. I've heard another theory about people thinking that Flo Rida was an interval act. So,
oh my god,
that could, well, which could totally explain something. I mean, being last in the running order sometimes is really good, sometimes it's not. Look at Molly from the UK 2014. She was number 26, and everyone thought that was going to do really well, and didn't do so great. Yeah, I think it's a shame that this didn't do so well, because Senet has had one of, if not the best, you know, campaign trail. Freaky Trip to Rotterdam, absolutely iconic, knocked it out of the park most of the time, let's say. But regardless, a really good run up to the contest. I think what you mentioned, Suzanne, about people not wanting an American to win Eurovision, like, that is such a silly sentiment for people to say. Eurovision is about bringing people together, and San Marino is a tiny nation, and it's great that we have representation. The last time the UK won, it was with Katrina and the Waves. I don't see anybody complaining about that. But, you know, with it being San Marino, they do struggle in different facets of the contest. And I think one of them is with televote support sometimes, because they don't really have many close allies. You know, with Greece and Cyprus, you can almost guarantee they're going to get a 24-point, you know, maximum score from each other. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that tends to be the trend that it goes down. With San Marino, it's less likely to, they're less likely to get that support because they don't really have the cultural connections to anywhere apart from Italy. And it's a shame, because this was absolutely their best entry. It might not have performed the best, it might not have got the best result, but this was still their best entry, and Senet should be really proud of everything she's achieved. And yeah, Flo Rida actually said in a press conference that he will be honored to take Senet to the American Song Contest and compete there. So I got my fingers crossed for that, because I want to see that happen again.
Suzanne.
I was not the biggest fan of this song going into it. I think it was either my 18th or 22nd. I'd have to go back and look at my spreadsheet. But the night of the grand final jury show, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of my top three. I think it was that particular show. It was my, yeah, it was my third. And there was something about ending the show. There was something just about how upbeat and fun it was. Flo Rida and Senet's energy together was fantastic. I was disappointed, as I know she was, but disappointed that it didn't fare better because of the high energy. And it really was a great way to end the evening.
You know, I think if you've got to perform after Italy, that's not good. They completely stole the show with their staging, and anything after that was going to feel a little bit, you know, deflated, and so maybe that effect impacted this. All I know,
you know, the comment about Serhat William, we were all singing "Say Na Na Na" for days, for months. Yeah. Every now and then, I still sing it. And maybe that's why it just did so well, because it was just so catchy.
Yeah, sometimes having Serhat a very
did finish top 10 with a televote. So, you know, San Marino can get up there if people want to vote for them.
Absolutely. Now, let's discuss some discrepancies. And you don't have to comment if it doesn't strike you. But one big discrepancy was Lithuania. The televoters put it sixth with 165 points. Curiously, the same amount as John's Tears, 165 points, a very big score. But then the jurors put this in 14th, okay? I am not having that. I do not understand. Why is the jury smoking? This was quality. This was high impact. This was memorable. And kind of like Say Na Na Na, it gets in my head and I find myself saying, okay. You feel the rhythm. You know, it does get stuck. Yeah.
Oh, you can do it, Oliver. Ooh. I can't.
Oh my God, he's a Klingon. He's a Klingon. Thoughts on why?
I'm gonna start top Star Trek again.
So, thoughts on why the public preferred Lithuania over, or rather, why the public rated this higher than the jury, and vice versa.
I think this was very quirky and very. I've always thought this would do better with the public. I think with the jury, when I'm looking at, you know, what they've ranked higher, I can sort of understand it all. It's a lot of, you know, whether they voted for, you know, the class of Belgium, or, you know, Portugal as well was always going to do well with juries, and Bulgaria, and, you know, obviously France and Switzerland being the two big jury favourites. I think Lithuania, while it is fun, it's not necessarily the most radio-friendly song across what Europe would necessarily play on the radio. I don't know. I think it does, you know, scream very Lithuanian. You know, they love a bit of quirkiness and a bit of, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm sure it was definitely a hit in Lithuania itself. Yeah, I think this was always going to do a lot better with the televote, just because of its, you know, it's just that sort of thing, really.
Yeah, I don't want to, I completely agree with you, Jonathan, but I am upset that it didn't do so well, but I can completely get that. Another discrepancy that I actually want to bring up is Malta. Third place in the jury, and then, I don't want to say tank the televote, but like 40-something points, am I right?
47. They were 14th in the televote. It's a huge discrepancy, right. And third with the jury.
Yeah, so, and that's a real shame, because, you know, Destiny was one of the favorites going into this, and she deserved to do really well. I think the problem here is that there were so many upbeat pop songs. You know, there's the jokes about everybody wearing silver, all of the points can only go to one silver dress kind of thing, and they got split between Angela Peristeri, Elena Sagrinu, Natalia Gordienko, Destiny, and I feel like somebody else was wearing silver. So yeah, I'm upset that that didn't do great, especially after she's had so much support across Europe. But I think it is just that saturation of pop songs. Very clearly this year, Europe wanted something different, because when we look at the top 10, there is so much diversity, both in the jury and the televote. So, and Malta was the best performing pop song, you know, pure, like, unadulterated pop song in the overall results. So, still a good result overall, but yeah, it's a real shame that they didn't get the televote support they needed to take us to Valletta. I guess we're going nearby with Italy, though.
One thing I want to say on this is, if we look at the acts who did well, you know, overall and in the televote, most of them who sang the song were involved in the songwriting. So Italy, the band wrote it. Ukraine, the band wrote it. France, she wrote it. Finland Blind Channel wrote it. Iceland wrote it. Lithuania wrote it. Manisia wrote it. There was this authenticity and connection to the song that I think people could feel, because Destiny, while she did an amazing job and she had a personal narrative that connected to the song, she didn't write it. And that was one big difference, I think, when you just look at the feel on the night itself, because I think in that moment, in front of 200 million people, if you've given birth to the song, there will be something in the air when you perform. And I am in no way slighting Destiny, who is a queen, who slayed it, who nailed it. But I do think that that was that variable kind of in the atmosphere on some level. Suzanne.
Oh my gosh, are we talking Malta? Are we talking, what are we talking?
To be honest, you can talk about anything. This is now free form because we've been on this call a long time. We got a lot of ground to cover. So you say whatever you want about these results.
So I'd like to comment on Go Away and Ukraine. They were my number two. Just so funky, so edgy. Another one who wrote their song. And if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the artists don't write their songs anymore, correct? Most of them are written and selected for them. Somewhere in between?
Bit of both.
Okay. Well, anyway, Shum was fantastic. Kate and group, fantastic. They're just so edgy. They're just so real. They're so versatile. They had tigers in their staging. I just want to reiterate again, they had tigers in their staging.
Listen,
that William missed multiple times.
I don't know why I would have missed it between editing all these posts and videos and getting you your dinner.
I don't remember either.
He said you gave him so much work to do. I don't know what you were doing.
In any case, please continue.
But anyway, Go Away. I loved this performance, everything about it. And I had been listening to Go Away and Måneskin for days and days and days. They were, Måneskin in my yoga class yesterday, I'm winning two songs. Go Away, I played Shum. I had this whole Eurovision playlist. And of course, Go Away and Måneskin were in it. Destiny's Gemma Cass was also in it among other songs. So I was most disappointed for Ukraine because Italy was my winner, but I would not have been disappointed if Ukraine had won. The other one that I would like to comment on is Iceland. I love how well they did despite not being able to perform on stage. This was one that I really liked, and I think some of you questioned me on my great like of this song. It wasn't just about the unicorns and the rainbows. They are family, and they're just so cute together, and they're quirky and they're odd. And like this morning I was watching their little dance and watching Dottie, and I will not be attempting this after my skyscraper nightmare, where all of Rotterdam got to see my sad, sad dance moves. But I was watching him. Yeah, you do it better already, Oliver. Just, you know, give instructions on doing the song. And I'm like, well, gosh, maybe if they had given such detailed instructions for the swing along, I wouldn't have looked like such an idiot, which is not the case. It wasn't the instructions. It's just me. But Iceland, I'm so glad that they did as well as they did. And I would just love to see them mainstream in America because of how fun and quirky they are, and the fact that they are actually, I think this year, they're going to be playing in some American venues. So I've got to go to the restroom all of a sudden. I had a whole lot of water. So you guys continue, and I'll be back for the next question.
Close the door, babe. So I just want to say that Ukraine, this was one that just continuously grew on me. I was so happy when they came second in the televote. Katarina's expression when the camera came to her, that was so touching. It was so sweet. She was sincerely shocked. She was shook. Jury's putting this in ninth. I am not feeling that. But I do think people might have said, some jurors might have said, oh, this is too weird for me to put my name by, which is unfortunate. Because there's a fear among a lot of jurors, we say this a lot, their name's going to be next to it and they worry what people will say. This deserved love. Also, shout out to Ukraine, the only country to have always made the final at Eurovision. They have never not qualified. That is epic. Their live on tape performance that we watched last night, it shows you the ingenuity, the innovation, the creativity. They just constantly deliver. They constantly think outside of the box. You know what? Even when they hosted and they had that rock band, this was not my favorite entry from them, but they had a big old head on the stage. They were giving us head, and it was so original even then. They just know how to elevate. They know how to slay. I mean, they came forth with Angel, honestly. They introduced us to Snow Woman, Sand Woman, Cassinia. They're just always pushing the boundaries. One other thing I just want to quickly shout out to is Manesia Russia coming eighth with both the televote and the jury. I think this really exceeded a lot of people's expectations pre-Eurovision. She managed to make the staging work. She took what was a hot mess at the national final, and she made it something very emotional, something beautiful, something with a climax, something that had a media narrative, something that was touching. I was so pleased to see her crack the top 10 in both segments. Jonathan, your thoughts on anything?
I think the one thing I'll pick up on is a lot of people said that Måneskin and Blind Channel would effectively cancel each other out, and that Europe would only ever vote for one rock song, where clearly there is room for a lot more rock at Eurovision, you know, with Måneskin topping the televote and then Blind Channel coming fourth. Blind Channel, you know, obviously won the televote in their semi-final as well. There is a lot of love for, you know, different genres out there. You know, if you, you know, yes, we often talk about sort of all the pop songs cancelling each other out and stuff. But, you know, if you have a good song in your genre, then it will cut through everything, no matter sort of what other songs are in there. So, yeah, I'm really glad that both Blind Channel and Måneskin were able to do so well, particularly, you know, considering they were my number one and number two before rehearsals and everything. So yeah, that was really, really great to see.
I'll say my final thought is that I just want to congratulate Barbara Pravi as well. I think she was excellent on the night. Like, again, like I said with Måneskin, it, you know, there was this journey and it all culminated. Barbara was so emotional in that final, in the grand final show. The performance was just stellar. And I, you know, in another year, so many of these acts could have won normal Eurovision. And then this year felt like Eurovision All-Stars. It was just next level. And I've actually seen some comparisons. I don't know how the maths quite checks out, because obviously we've had different voting systems through the years. But in 2015, supposedly, Barbara Pravi would have come second by 1 point. We would have had a Celine Dion or the Mamas and Daughter situation at Melfest. That would have been so intense. And I think this top two is absolutely stellar. All of the top 10, to be honest, just really fantastic year. I miss it already. I miss Eurovision already.
Suzanne, while you sip on your water, I'll quickly just say, I really love that in the top five, only one country didn't sing in their native language. So Italy, Italian, France, French, Switzerland, French, Iceland sang in English, and Ukraine sang in their language. It was just so nice, and I hope this encourages other countries, you know, to sing in their own language. You don't have to sing in English to do well. Clearly not. I mean, the highest English language song is fourth. That's amazing. We have to go back decades to find a result like that, if I'm not mistaken. That is just epic. This Eurovision shook so many things up. It shook the ground we stand on. Rock can win. Rock can come first and sixth.
You can rock and roll never dies.
Unreal. That Finland result, that makes me so happy. Because I was worried that these would poach from each other, but clearly people can appreciate various genres within the rock genre, different swerves on the same genre. You gotta bring the energy, you gotta bring the fire, and if you do that, you can still slay. You know, I told you this after the show, Suzanne, Finland, when they took the stage, we felt it in the arena. There was, it woke everybody up. People were feeling it, and it carried on. It was just beautiful. Ukraine also gave people the feels, which was also magical. Ooh, in any case, Suzanne.
First of all,
oh my God,
we're going to close out by thanking all of our fans. Thank you. Thank you so much. Ducky Doo Official on Instagram. Ducky Doo Official. D-U-C-K-I-E. O-F-F. Oh, D-U-C-K-I-E-D-O-O. O-F-F-I-C-I-A-L. Share Ducky Doo's American Adventures by following him on Instagram.
I just have a whole lot of letters. Sorry, go ahead.
I know there's three O's back to back. Just so much love and gratitude for, after 2 years, being able to come together with such a small group at home, larger group from their respective homes, so that we could, as a team, share this experience. I got to notice how hard everyone at home was working. I got to see firsthand how hard everyone at the press center was working. So tons of love and gratitude for our team and the artists and the delegations. It's always so lovely when they come by and visit on the live stream, which didn't happen as often this year as it has in the past, but it was still just so nice to have those stop by who did. And more than anything, love and gratitude for all of the folks who are watching us, for all of the folks who tune into the live streams, because we wouldn't be able to do this without everybody there. And it's just so nice to connect on a hearted level and share a love of Eurovision and music. And so those are mine and Becky Doo's final thoughts. Love and gratitude.
What a namaste moment. I thought you were going to talk about the results, but hey, I'll take it. Jonathan, final thoughts on the results.
Final thoughts on the result. I am just overall pretty much extremely happy with most things, really. As people have said, I love the diversity. I love the different languages. I love the different genres that are in the top five, top 10. I think Eurovision has just come back so strong this year. You know, I think a lot of people at home realized what they were missing. And, you know, there were stellar ratings in the UK and across other, you know, countries as well. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can just continue to rise from here, really. And if, you know, countries continue to send such great songs year in, year out, then we are in for some amazing contests in the year to come. So I'm very excited.
Keep on rising, Oliver.
The blood moon is rising, y'all. Yeah. No.
You know what? I heard Måneskin in a video the other, because, you know, I followed, they used y'all too. Not, and I know they didn't get that from us, but it was just so funny. Like, y'all has become this universal thing.
I will never forget the shade, because, like, I'm obviously from Georgia, so I would always say y'all in post just all the time, because it's like what we say. And there were always these comments, why are you saying y'all so much? I'm sorry, that's how we speak. In any case, Oliver.
And Slay. People hate Slay, but
yeah,
deal with it.
Oh my God.
Let me try to put y'all and Slay into this next sentence.
Oh, easy. Y'all Slay.
Y'all get ready, because Eurovision 2022 in Turin, Rome, Naples, Milan is going to slay.
Yeah.
Final thought.
We're going to Italy, y'all!
My final thought is I was sad for Bulgaria. Like, she came sixth with the jury, which I think makes very good sense. And then with the televoters, my goodness, the televote put Bulgaria down in 18th. And I understand it's not an instantaneous song, you know, it's not the most instant. But I think if you stick with it, the burn is slow, but it does catch fire. But I love her. Shout out to her. Shout out to all the singers. Shout out to all the slayage. That's what we think. What do you think? Are you living for the results of Eurovision 2021? Which result disappointed you the most? Do you, like me, think that El Diablo should have been higher? Let us know here on WeWe Vlogs.
Make sure to hit subscribe and also click that notification bell so you know when all our new videos are coming out.
And, of course, you can follow us on socials. Suzanne Adams from Atlanta, Georgia, let us know what those socials are.
So our social media platforms include Instagram, Facebook, WeWe TV on YouTube, Twitter, of which I have recently become semi-active on Twitter. We have a podcast on Spotify, and I think somebody may be working on a Clubhouse profile of some sort.
Thank you so much.
That pretty much sums it up.
And we will see you later. Bye.